This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports on a Sunday morning continues. Man, everything is going right now. It's an incredible time of year, and college basketball is underway. Joining us, the head coach of the Billikens, Josh Schertz. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. A win for you on Friday against Rockhurst, your exhibition. I know that you look at more than just the result. This is something that you will finally have some film to be able to break down against another opponent. How did things look for you? Let's start with that, as you had five Billikens scoring in double figures.
Yeah, I think, it was really almost, two separate games. I think you had the first 17 minutes. We were down. We're down 33-26 with 3 minutes to play, and I think that was certainly our floor. As a team, I thought we were really, really poor. We obviously didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but we were just out physicaled, outworked in every aspect. Credit to Rockhurst, because I did think they came in, really punched us in the mouth and dominated the game. Loose balls, we struggled to get stops. Thought they kind of pushed us around the basket. We struggled to convert under the basket. Beat us in every which way. And then I thought the middle, 16, 17 minutes, we outscored them by 30. And so we went from, down 7 up 23. And then from the last there, 6-7 minutes, I kind of subbed liberally and let everybody play, and it kind of finished where it finished. But, I think we saw some good things in that middle 16 minutes. I thought we saw our floor that first 17 minutes, but had a lot of guys do some encouraging things. But certainly we have to, the mentality that we came out with wasn't acceptable, and I thought the middle piece right there was much more of our identity of who we want to be.
And as part of that messaging at halftime, do you sit down and refocus as a group? Do you attribute that to the change in the start of the second half?
Well, the adjustment we made was in the mentality piece, right? Like that was, there wasn't a X and O adjustment. You can't X and O your way, out of playing soft, not having appropriate physicality, maybe not being locked in. I thought, our offense is based on, a rhythm. And being in rhythm, being in sync, and to be in rhythm and be in sync, you got to be on time. We weren't on time at all. Offensively, we turned it over 11 times. Most of those in that first half, most of those in that first 17 minutes, I thought, and a lot of times in that first half, our offense was their best offense because they were just getting runouts in transition. They had 33 points at halftime, and I think 11 or 13 of those were off our turnovers. So, the biggest thing was the mentality. But I think you have to, it's more a question of why do we come out with that mentality more than, we stepped on the gas, but you can't do that. Like, you can't go into a game and take the temperature and figure out how hard you have to compete to win. It's going to take 70% of my effort or 73 or 80. Like, good players, good teams, there's a level of, hey, we're coming out, we're playing as hard as we can from tip to jump. And I don't think it wasn't that we weren't playing hard, so maybe it's not framed that way, but I didn't think we played with a level of physicality, the level of force that needed to be. And that's really what changed from that halftime. The second half was the level of force, the level of physicality that we brought to the table there in the second half, and that's why we were able to flip the game.
The Billikens shot 64% from the floor in the second half, outscored Rockhurst 56-32 in the second half, won the game 86-65. Josh Schertz is with us. Another game coming up on Friday against Maryville. Let's talk about some individual performances, if you would. I know that you looked inside first, is the first thing you were just talking about. How did Kalu Anya play? I know that you want to see a lot out of him. He ends up with 12 points and 11 rebounds.
Yeah, I think Kalu did some good things. Second half, he was terrific. We took him out there, but he could have, could have had a really monster second half the way he played, the force and physicality in half two. I think, you know, Kalu's a guy, and we have a few guys on our team like this that, you know, and I think our whole team is this way. We have two or three guys that really drive it. You know, Kalu's growth is going to be about raising his floor. I think so many times when people think about improvement, driving improvement, they think about making their best better. And, you know, I guess the best way to equate it is like a golfer, you know, like people don't understand. So, like, if you're a good, you know, you golf a couple times a week and, you know, your best is you can, you know, you can break par, you can shoot, you know, 70 or 69, 68. But your floor is you shoot 110 when you're at your worst. You're not a great golfer. It's the same thing with basketball players. It's about raising your floor individually, collectively. Kalu's ceiling is really high. We've got to raise his floor, and he's not the only guy. We got to do that as a team. Like that first 17 minutes of the game, you know, that was our floor. That's got to get much higher to become a good team. He played second half like he's capable of, and I thought he did some really good things on the glass. I thought he touched paint. He led us in paint touches, you know, had a double-double. But I thought his defense second half was really good. We were able to switch him. He guarded all five players in the other team. And so, you know, with Kalu, I think it's simply that. And like I said, there's two or three other guys in that same boat where they're too good of players to have their floor there. We're too good a team to have our floor there. Our floor has got to move significantly in terms of improvement. That's got to be an individual thing and of course a collective thing.
You've seen a lot of Isaiah Swope. What did he look like and how did he get into the swing of things on Friday?
Yeah, first half he was, I mean, he would tell you, I mean, same thing, you know, he was at his floor in the first half, you know, was not, you know, where he needed to be. He didn't look like the Isaiah Swope we know. When Isaiah Ceiling is one of the best players in college basketball, one of the most dynamic scorers in college basketball. His floor was, you know, what he was in the first half, and I think he reset, refocused at halftime, and, you know, he came out and, he scores the first 8 points of the second half, but I thought his force on the offensive end of the second half, getting in the paint, you know, shooting the ball with confidence, you know, trying to play the way he needs to play to be successful. I thought he simplified the game, you know, for himself at halftime. I thought his defense was good the whole night. You know, they had a kid that's a pretty good shooter, came in and made 80-some threes. Isaiah did a really nice job in his matchup defensively. Even in the first half, he did a nice job defensively in his matchup. But I thought in the second half was much more of, you know, who he needs to be, where he's playing, you know, really, really in attack mode every time he touches, but attack mode to make the right play. And he's got a, you know, another guy that you know, he's got to simplify his game and he's got to raise his floor. Isaiah, when he's at his best is as good as any guard really in college basketball. But that floor has got to jump just like Kalu's. For us to be good, we can't have a floor like that in the like we did in the first half. And those two guys, I thought, were really a big part of why we struggled in the first half. And I would say they were the two biggest reasons why we were so much better in the second half, because their impact on our team is so dramatic when you talk about Isaiah and Kalu.
And Gibson Jimerson, who everybody in America knows that he can shoot the three. So when you watched him last year, people are grabbing him and staying with him and making it difficult for him to get the ball or at least get off a clean shot. How has he looked both in practice and Friday from that perspective, moving without the ball, trying to get open looks?
Yeah, Gibbs been terrific. I mean, he's been he's a guy that's been, you know, our most dependable player. If you look at the summer to the fall, you know, obviously, you know, he and Larry didn't shoot it great. When you look at, you know, the threes, I think there were 2 for 15 combined. But, you know, shooting is its own thing. That's kind of a fickle deal. There's going to be nights where it goes in and nights where it doesn't. The key is take good ones. Gibson's moves well without the ball, and I thought he did a nice job on the offensive end of, you know, on a night where he made 1 3, he still found his way to 14 points, right? You know, he was able to get downhill. He drove some closeouts. I thought he did a nice job of trying to, you know, he got a nice great cuddle on the baseline and got a layup. He found ways to score without the three ball going in. I lose no sleep over Gibson Jimerson shooting the basketball. So I know that's going to be, you know, something we're going to be able to count on, the, you know, his career with us. He's been the most dependable guy, like I said, on our team, you know, this summer, this fall. I think Gibbs going to have a great year. He's got to continue to clean up things defensively. He knows that. And we do as a group as well. But I love his attitude, his focus level. He's all about the right things. And that, you know, like I thought, you know, with his shooting, his floor on Friday night was still pretty high.
And your leading scorer after Jemerson and Swope had 14 apiece was Amari McCautry. I'm interested in him. Now, he's an explosive player. He's 6'5", Coach. That is quite a body to grow into. He's young.
Yeah, no, he really is. He's actually grown inches. He's been here. He's 6'6" now, with a 7-foot wingspan. Amari does not look like a freshman physically, for sure. He's the most physical driver in our program. He's probably the best on our team at touching paint and you know, getting downhill and putting pressure on the rim. You know, he's a guy that as he figures out, you know, how to kind of eliminate losing. You know, he does a lot of good things, and he does a lot of things that you know, or, you know, have scratch your head. I will say this about him: his trajectory has been really good. When you look at his growth from June 3rd to October, you know, 20th, it's been really, really significant. I think as his trajectory continues, he's a guy that's as talented as anybody in our basketball program. When you look at his ability to handle the ball, his ability to touch paint, his ability defensively, he comes over on a rotation as a point, you know, he's kind of a point guard, combo guard, comes over and blocks a center on a baseline drive, dunk attempt. He does some things that you know, you don't see many guys who are combo guards being able to do, and that goes back to, you know, his size and versatility. He's got good feet. We needed him in that game because the way they played us, they were out really trying to deny and pressure and be physical and blow stuff up. And his ability to put his shoulders down and get his shoulders by people and then force rotation, get the ball to the rim was obviously a big part of why we were able to kind of crack that open. He had all 16 of his points in the second half. So he's a guy that we got to continue to develop because he's got a chance to really if he can get to where he's able to play consistent minutes and he does enough good stuff, I think that changes our ceiling as a team because of how talented he is individually.
He certainly seems like your kind of player. Finally, Friday night, you'll be taking on Maryville, another chance for fans to see you in person before the real games begin, an exhibition. You'll have the lights on and the band in and the place going at Chaffetz Arena on a Friday night. Preston Ingram is the head coach at Maryville. He used to be down the street at Missouri Baptist. So a chance for one of the local schools to come in and play it.
Yeah, no, it's a good opportunity for us. We need it. You know, we got a young group that's learning how to, you know, kind of come together. Young group in terms of, you know, playing together, you know. And so these experiences are invaluable for us. The opportunity to compete with the lights on, have fans there to play through some stuff. I think that, you know, it's obviously a huge part. We've got a lot of growth. We've got to undertake here in the next 15 days before we tip it off against Santa Clara. The majority of that growth has to occur on the court, you know, on the practice court where nobody's watching. But the opportunity to play outside competition, to see yourself against somebody else, to have what happened this past Friday where, you know, the competition shows you, hey, this is where you're deficient. This is some things you're doing well. Here's where you got to grow. Here are some issues that were presented, and you need the competition to show that. We know it's a great opportunity to go out, compete against a good team in Maryville. Preston's done a really nice job. One of their assistants is my former assistant at Lincoln Memorial, Lance Ignatz. So I know, obviously known Lance forever. And so, you know, it'll be fun to get out there, compete against those guys. And like you said, have a local school in here. And hopefully Chaffetz, I thought there was a good atmosphere, good energy on this past Friday against Rockhurst. Hopefully it's as good or better here coming up against Maryville. And then we tee it off for real.
It's a 7:00 tip on Friday night at Chaffetz Arena as the Billikens take on Maryville. Josh Schertz, always great talking ball with you. Appreciate it. Have a great Sunday.
Hey, appreciate you, Tom. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.